Okay, we'll come down here to Brad. Question number 8. We doing okay? Do you believe it is appropriate for the police to delay, question, or detain citizens who haven't broken the law?
You know, that's a legal question. And in 1 minute, I can just say this. I think that my best answer to that, without researching that and getting personal to the individual, and I'm happy to address that at my table later to understand whoever has that question, but I do not know what it's like to get up in the morning and put on a bulletproof vest and understand that the complexity of their job. As hard as I try, I've been on no-knock search warrants and I've seen the risk they take. I'm willing to say I feel like our police are good, honest people. I think they can make mistakes, but they are governed by their own laws that they try to enforce. And so I don't have a clear answer on if that's a legal question. So my city councilman hat would say, let me talk to our legal staff and I'll get back to you. And then I'll give you the legal answer. Because if it's by the law, I would support it.
Our police do a phenomenal job of protecting us. And I love going on ride-alongs with them and being able to see the problems that they deal with on a regular basis. Just this last Friday, I did it literally a week ago, and we had an individual who was hyped up on meth, who had stolen a car that drove 90 miles an hour through our town, down State Street. And they did a phenomenal job in being able to bring an end to that issue. When we talk about detaining people and things of that nature, it happened to me at a checkpoint when I was going out to Memorial Day weekend this last year, up into the canyons. And you always stop and think, gosh, I didn't do anything wrong. Why are they pulling me over? This doesn't seem right. But I can tell you this, it's beyond the purview of the city council. That's the state law that needs to be taken a look at to see if it needs to be able to be changed or not at the state level. I cannot hold against our police department using all tools in their tool belt to keep us safe. We just have to look at the tool belt and the power we've given them, and that's really at the state level with the state law that grants them that authority to be able to do such.
I've been in countries where this has happened. In fact, it's happened to me in East Berlin, and that was one of the scariest moments of my life because I thought, nobody knows I'm here. I just imagine it was there. And then the policemen, they're not the ones who write the rules that they have to enforce. This is something we can stay on top of and express our concern and dismay if things like that happen. But again, the specific answer to this is to a specific instance in each case, and that's for something that our legal department takes care of.
I lived here for a lot of years, as many of you have, and I think we have a wonderful police department. I think we have men and women who are very dedicated, and they serve us sometimes at a great sacrifice to them and to their families. About 3 o'clock in the morning one day, our doorbell rang, and I opened the door, and there were two policemen there. They want to know if we have a son. At 3 o'clock in the morning, they want to know if I have a son. I have 5 of them. Yeah, I've got a son. One of them had been out playing games, and somebody had called the police because they don't like kids playing night games. The police came, and guess what the boys did? They ran. They were after the boys that ran. So we've all had experiences, but they were very professional and good about it. And yes, the police, in order to do their job, have to be able to talk to people, but there are limits to what they can and cannot do.
Rob, question number 9. Please comment on the recent Utah Taxpayers Association study which said American Fork is the 4th or 5th most taxed city in Utah.
Well, I'm surprised to read that when a year ago, before that study, we were named the most affordable place to live in Utah. So I look back to a professor that I had in college and it was a statistics course, and you try to stay awake. That's why I got addicted to Mountain Dew during that class. But it's, the topic that came up was there's statistics, and because we're in Utah County, there's darn statistics, and then there's lies. I'm sure we all heard that before. And it's all about how you crunch the numbers. I dug deep into that study to see why, because that concerned me as a city council member, because my commitment to you is to keep our rates affordable and use the best use of our money as we can. John lives up in Highland, and John travels down to buy some great services here in American Fork. They counted his tax dollars to my personal tax rate, which is not fair, and that's why we were so high on that, is because we get 90% of our sales tax revenue from one business comes from outside of American Fork residents. So that completely skewed the whole study.
I think what can be addressed is not the specific place. I am a statistician. It's what I do. And when you do things like that, there are variances among cities. What matters here, our taxes are high, and they've been going up. And the total has been going up. And again, not only is it going up, but it's been that percentage that's not going away that's been creeping up. Now, that's my answer. Just a comment. I used to be one of those boys who ran. When five of us left from my home ward in Ponca City, Oklahoma, my dad sent us on our missions, my dad sent us a little article that the police were puzzled why a certain kind of crime had dropped more than 85%.
That's good. Give me the question again, will you? Oh, that's wax.
Please comment.
The tax studies. Okay.
Please comment on the recent Utah Taxpayers Association study, which said American Fork is the fourth or fifth most tax city.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry. There's an old saying: figures don't lie, but liars figure. Figures don't lie, but liars figure. You can take a group of numbers and oftentimes make it say this or say this. I have children in Pleasant Grove, as I mentioned, I have children in Cedar Hills. I asked them to bring me their bills for the city. And guess what? Two out of the two of them are both higher than American Fork. So the sales tax issue has been addressed. We get a lot of sales tax money that isn't from this city. But we continually get people that say, we're the worst at everything. I'd like to see some of those people get involved and help understand better what they're talking about. We're not perfect, but they're not always telling the truth either, in my humble opinion.
I could probably answer this in 2 seconds, but I will take a minute to explain. But that study, I think, is completely incorrect. It does not compare apples for apples. And so I think that it's very important that in that study, or even the one that we could say it was done before that kind of proved opposite of that, that it's important that we as individuals understand and that we don't just follow something that we might just read, that we research the facts. And so as statisticians, I think it's important to represent facts as they are. And if there's something that's not right, a half-truth, is my opinion, is a lie. And we've seen that propagated throughout politics and even in our own city. And so I will speak to just truth, that if you're going to do a study, please be holistic and represent facts as they are, and don't just take one little segment and try to manipulate and to manipulate people with one little fact. Be fair and honest.
Alan, we're going to start with you. Question number 10. What areas of city government do you feel need changes?
Areas of city government. When I got the puzzle look, because it can cover several things. It can be personnel. We have amazing policemen who I've dealt with. We have everyone I've dealt with, even in the city offices, has been really nice and has answered questions, has helped me out. The area I would go is our budget. the process. Our city manager presents a budget, and the city council looks at that and sees if they agree with the priorities. So you can see where our city council stands with those priorities, where the roads, where the water, where everything stands, and the monies that's spent. And so I would point to the budget, I would point to the process, and I would frankly point to the citizens looking at that so we can hold people accountable.
When I hear that question, I hear what areas need changes, major changes. What can we do to solve all our problems? There is no magic wand. There's nothing that's going to solve all of our problems and keep everybody happy. One of the fun things about being in politics is half the time you're going to have half the people mad at you, and you're going to have the other half happy with you. The next time it's going to reverse. We're never going to keep everybody happy. I don't think we need major wholesale changes in anything in this city. Do we need adjustments? Yes. We always need adjustments, just like we all do in our personal lives and our personal family. As things happen, as life goes on, there's always room for adjustments and minor corrections. And that's where I think the value of good people who look at things and understand them come into play.
These are sensitive issues because when you talk change, sometimes you can talk personal lives, because through making changes in the cities, you're affecting employment and people's ability to take care of their families through that employment. And as a city council members, we occasionally get very involved with that. It's our job. And so when we came in, I think Rob and I came in together, we saw a significant change that we thought needed to happen in our planning department. And we initiated those changes, which came through personnel changes into the planning department. And through that, and through, you know, the last 4 years, 3.5 years, we've had 9 layoffs. And we've taken those layoffs and we've looked at how can we combine clerical staff. We looked at one and we thought, how can we use even to change oil? And we laid off a person, we went to a local business, he's changing our oils for much cheaper. Recently, we just made a change of reconstruction our engineering department. So those things that I've mentioned, I think are the things that we have changed and will continue to look.
The largest portion of the city budget comes down to employees. And it's important, like Brad mentioned, that we make sure we're getting the best service we can. And I challenge you to go look at any other city in the state of Utah over the last 3.5 years has done as much restructuring as American Fork City has, with 9 different layoffs. And this just wasn't coming in and just saying we're going to lay off all these people. These were strategically done to make sure that we can still provide the same level of service, if not better service, with these types of layoffs and restructuring. Those are hard things to be able to do. One of the hardest, I told you I grew up on King Street. One of the individuals that was laid off grew up just down the road from me. And I remember playing at her house on a regular basis. But that's what you sign up to do, is you have to make those tough decisions. And you can't allow personal relationships to get in that way. My goal and my job as a city council member is look after the best route for American Fork residents, and I'm committed to continue to do that.
Okay, Kevin, we're gonna start with you. I have 2 questions here, but they deal with the same issue. So I'm gonna read both of them and let you guys answer them simultaneously. First one is, I'm concerned about the poor condition of our roads. What is the timetable to do something about it? The second one is, what are your plans to prioritize the building process to solve our street problems? What is your building process to solve our street problem?
Budgeting process.
Oh, I'm sorry, budgeting.
I couldn't figure out how buildings had.
Sorry. Budgeting, what are your plans to prioritize the budgeting process to solve our streets problem? They're both about roads.
Is it about every other question that's dealt with the roads this morning, or is it just my imagination? The roads are a big issue. I think we've already talked about that. I think Mr. Shelton made a good point. The amount of money that was spent in, if I heard it right, last year versus this year's budget, the 2 budgets, was doubled. I think those are the things that need to continue to be done. the demands for the repairs will always exceed the money. I think we all can agree on that. So it's a priority question of where do we start and where do we go. There's no question that infrastructure, meaning roads, water, power, all whatever you want to call it, are always a priority. But so are police and fire and everything else. So again, as has been said, it becomes a balancing act with continual adjustments.
I think that we could just say for me, with the 9 layoffs that we've had and the mindset of being prudent with everything that we do, with the idea that infrastructure, and I have to say infrastructure, it's hard for me to separate a road from water line. I know how important it is that we have good roads, but it makes no sense to repair surface a road only to come in even 10 years later and to dig it up to put a new water line. And so you have to think what's under the ground, and then you think holistically. And so with the mindset of first identifying as a council member that that is our top priority, that if there is money available, we have certain ways of budgeting, but knowing our number one priority is roads, but two, understanding that sometimes things get in the way that are more important, like water. And so we're redoing some things in our water infrastructure now that maybe weren't foreseen that would have been into roads. And so those are just the key elements.
Asked about the budgeting process. I've got a document here. You can pull this up on the city website. It goes through the budgeting process that we go through. This is the road and capital improvement plan for American Fork City. It talks about every water line, every sewer line that's going to be replaced, and every road. We make sure, like Brad said, that all the infrastructure underneath the ground is fixed before we tear up that road and put a nice piece of blacktop on top of it. This plan goes out to 2022. It goes out beyond any of our terms of current council members or elected officials. It gives very specific roads. You can see on here exactly where they start and where they end. You can also pull up and see how much we have spent on roads. This is a pretty thick packet of how much we spent on not just roads, but all the infrastructure underneath over the last 3.5 years to make sure that we're using money in the most prudent way. So yes, we go through every single road is rated by Utah State University, who we partner with, which has a phenomenal engineering department, and we get it at a good price, and we can be able to then take that knowledge and budget with it.
For the roads, long-term plans are the answer. And everyone, the two things to remember, one, every one of you has seen, in front of my house too, a recent road that was there. Some of them said even just as little as 2 months had to be dug up right in front of it. You can't get more than 30 seconds from this building and see those. In our long-term plans, that has to be there. Our budget in the past 2 years, that budget that state law forbids from going past income, 2 years ago, $48 million, and it's gone up to $58 million. That's a big increase. There's room. The prioritizing, and again, water, roads, and our utilities are high priorities that have to be balanced, but we can do it.